Good evening. Very good to be back in the house of the Lord tonight and to see each one of you back tonight. That's always great. I really enjoyed the time that Brother Miller allowed me to study, and I believe God had a hand in that too, but I thank Brother Miller for the opportunity and the time that he allowed me. He called me up and said one evening and said, "Why don't you preach this Sunday night?" And I find that sometimes that I want to be able to enjoy my study time for a sermon, and he was very comfortable about that, and I appreciate it. And God definitely did bless my study time. What I want to speak on tonight, very, very common to hear. I'm sure that is not an unusual story that you've heard. It's always been a difficult subject for me to read into this book, and maybe it was and your experience too, but we'll just get right into the book of James, chapter 5, verse 7. James chapter 5, verse 7. Now I'm going to start reading 7 through 11. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not against one another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender mercy." The Lord is very compassionate and full of mercy. And of course, tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about endurance and patience. Endurance and patience. And also, of course, it's going to be, we're all looking to the book of Job. So if y'all will be turning to the book of Job, my focus is on the entire book. Now, I'm not going to read the entire book of Job tonight. What I was saying was it was a little confusing for me to read the book of Job. It always has been, because it starts off talking how Job is of perfect integrity, and kind of makes you think Job is supernatural and almost better than everybody else, which he kind of had more than everybody else. He had so many great and wonderful things. God richly blessed Job. In all of his doings, he required many possessions and a great family. He took in the needy, fed the needy, just like God said. And he was described as a man of perfect integrity. It's not no wonder that after reading this entire book, many people attribute and put Job and patience and endurance together. It's a little doubt. The first thing I want to point out is in Job chapter 1, verse 9 through 12, and I'm going to read that for you. And this is Satan's first meeting with God about Job. And God, even though that he blessed Job, he pointed out to Satan, why don't you consider Job? Because Satan was roaming the earth, seeing what kind of mischief he can get in. And God said, examine Job a little bit further. And we're going to look at Job chapter 1, verse 9 through 12. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God not? Hath not man thou made a hedge around him? And about his house, and about all that he hath on every side, and how blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power. Only upon himself, but not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Notice, Satan said to God, put forth your hand and do terrible things to him that will make me happy. But God didn't necessarily, he didn't put forth his hand and smite Job down. I think that's very, very important for us to understand. God gave Satan the ability by God invoking his power and taking away his many blessings and his protection from Job, which allowed Job to acquire all these many possessions in his great family. It was the fact that God was protecting him that allowed him to be such a man of integrity. But to prove a point, God took that away for a moment and let Satan do to him, but not hurt his body. And come to find out, that wasn't enough. So Satan came back to God after he did so many horrible things to Job, took away so many possessions from him. He said, family member, probably things that he expressed love for. I have no doubt he loved his family. He loved his sons and daughters very much. He invested a lot of time in them, that's for sure, by him purifying them through sacrifices. But Satan took those away from him. And that did not cause Job to falter in his integrity. It didn't cause Job to curse God to his face. It didn't cause Job to curse God at all. So Satan, of course, being the mischievous person he is, wasn't happy with that. And he went back to God and said, well, let me do more. And God said, well, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen like you want, but I'm going to allow it. You can touch his body, but do not take his life. So Job had suffered so many horrible things. Job was an unhappy person for a long time. Job was a very, very unhappy person, had so many health problems. But still, reading the entire book of Job, He did not curse God. But what Job did, he cursed the day he was born. His integrity slowed down a little bit. Like Brother Miller was talking about a couple of Sundays ago, he's preaching on Jesus walking on water and how Peter also took it one step at least on water and had his gaze fixed on Christ so he could walk a step, at least one step on water before he sank into the deep. Well, Job did as well. I think if Job was to meet Jesus on the water, I would like to think that Job could take a few steps on the water himself. But don't get me wrong. Don't be confused. At perfect integrity, Job did falter a little bit. He cursed the day he was born. He was in so much agony and pain at his loss of possessions, loss of family, loss of his physical health, that he cursed the day he was born. He had four friends come to him. He lost all of his other friends. I don't know if these were great friends or not, but it said he lost all of his best friends. But yet four friends came from afar to give him counsel, to talk about the tragedies Job went through. And they conversed a lot about how much suffering Job went through, how much loss he went through, and who was responsible. And three of Job's friends accredited the problems Job was going through, blamed the problems on the wrong person. One of his friends gave him fairly good counsel, but three of his friends, God actually singled out and expressed his anger towards them. And anger is something I'd like to for y'all to put aside for a second, and we'll come back and visit that a little bit. But Elihu, in the book of Job, chapter 34:23, go ahead and please turn to that if you would, Job 34:23. God does not need to examine a person further, or should he approach him in court? See, Job, in all of his dealings with the three friends that gave him bad counsel, Job started not just fixating on wishing he was not born, but Job also was, well, let me take care of this. He didn't falter in his faith now. He didn't falter in his faith. He still wanted to go to court to approach God himself, which would have been a mistake. But he wanted to approach God himself and explain his case. And Elihu was pointing out that fact to Job, that you're fixating on this desire to go before God and to plead your case, and you're fixating on how great of a man you were. But goes on, and I still want to look at the book of Job, and now it's 34, chapter 34, verse 31 through 33. And this is still Elihu talking to Job. And he goes on to say, suppose someone says to God, I've endured my punishment. I will no longer act wickedly. Teach me what I cannot see. If I've done wrong, I won't do it again. Surely God will repay you on your own terms when you have rejected his. You must choose, not I. So declare what you know. And Elihu happened to be giving Job good counsel. One out of four of Job's friends was giving him good counsel and was telling him, stop fixating on taking your case before God. Stop blaming the wrong people. It's not your children's fault. It's not your servant's fault. It's not because you have so many possessions. It's not because you did have so many possessions. It's not because you did have a great family that was on to great things. It's not God's fault. God did not do this to you. God may have allowed it to happen to you, but God did not do this to you. And I believe Job was very close to believing that this is God's fault. This is God's fault. But don't get me wrong. However close I was, he did not believe it was God's fault. God goes on to talk to Job in his own time. And in God's own timing, not Job's. It's not exactly when Job wanted. God met him in a whirlwind and said, okay, you're before me just like you wanted to. Be a man, plead your case. And Job started making a little more sense and started remembering his faith. And then it goes on. God goes on to restore Job's blessed life. God took care of it. There wasn't much more to it. Satan took it away. God restored it. It seems like a long, long time. The 40-some-odd chapters of Job seems like it went on for a long, long time. But in all that time, God was in control. Job did not have to ask for God to come before him in court. God was going to take care of it. God was going to take care of the situation. Not only was God going to take care of the situation, I believe he knew exactly when he spoke to Satan and gave Satan the ability to take all this away from Job. I believe that God knew that he was going to do wondrous things through Job. He was going to restore all these things to Job. He was going to bring back his family. I don't believe it was bringing him back from the dead, but he had a family again. He had all these possessions. It was at least two times more than what he had. He had way more than he needed. But the moral of what I read in my studies was, it's not always God's fault. God may have had a hand in it. He allows everything to happen, but do we have the right to say to God, God, this is your fault. Make it not happen anymore. We don't have that. We don't have that authority. God said to Job, such a great man, that you're not God. You don't have my powers. I'd like to see you bring the rain. I'd like to see you bring the storm. I'd like to see you bring the hail. I'd like to see you tame the wild beasts. Job, of course, couldn't do that, but he admitted he couldn't do that very, very quickly, and that's one reason why he became associated with patience and endurance. But the confusing part to me was at the times he was so close to blaming the wrong person. He was so close to that line where he wasn't going to give all the credit to God. He was so close to not putting his faith entirely in God. His friends that gave him bad counsel were halfway responsible for this. And it doesn't say in the book of Job, but I have a good feeling with God's anger that God took care of that. God doesn't really appreciate the giving of bad counsel. He takes care of that. We all go through hard times. We go through loss of possessions, loss of family members, loss of our own health and safety. I'm gonna step aside a second. I don't like talking about myself a lot. I used to be able to do wonderful things. I was on my way to being a professional athlete. I have no doubt that I would have been a professional athlete, and that's just not in God's plans. It seems that it was taken away from me, and there are a lot of people that have had that happen in their life that I've heard have happened, that's happened in their life, that they are so close to, they believe in God, and then they become so close to saying it's God's fault. God has the power to take this away from me, but guess what? If God's going to fix it, God's going to fix it. God has everything under his control. Let's not forget that. Let's not be impatient and want things done on my time, on your time. Let it be on God's time. Lost people. If there's any lost people here tonight, or if you know any saved people, if you know any lost people, the worst thing in the world for me to see is Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, the same person on the mourner bench just getting so close and wanting so bad to be saved by the grace of God. But it's just not God's time yet for you to be saved. That makes me feel bad. Just think how bad those lost people must feel. They must get to the point where they start getting angry I've seen this happen, people getting unjustly angry. And whether it's directed to God or not, it's unjust anger. And they are so close to blaming God, it gets in the way of them being saved. Don't let that be your case. Give the counsel to the people that you know that are in that situation, that be patient. God will, He's in charge. He's going to take care of the situation. If it's your time to be saved, God's going to save you. When it's your time to be saved, God will save you. Don't get angry, God. God has perfect timing. If you have your own personal situations of loss, I'm going to pray for you. You pray for me. Let's remind each other to have patience, to go to each other and offer good counsel, and to not allow anger to get in the way in the midst of suffering, pain, and loss, to cloud our judgment to where we blame God. Don't let that happen to anybody you know. Don't let that happen to yourself. Give good counsel. I'm going to pray for you tonight. I want you to pray for me if there's any lost here tonight. God's going to take care of you. Today is the day of salvation. Go before God. But whatever you do, don't demand God come before you in court. We don't want that to happen. We don't want to see God's anger. We don't want to see God's anger. We're going to do something wrong. That's for sure. When we come before God, we're going to have something wrong with us. Even though Job had perfect patience, he went before God and had numerous things wrong with him because he took counsel from the wrong people because of pain and loss clouded his judgment. Wasn't a long message. That's my message. I encourage you to read the book of Job in for its entirety. It's a long book, I know. It's confusing, I know. But tonight I gave you one summary. God bless you. I love you. That's my message. Brother Miller.